Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. What are you pursuing this morning? The title of the message is, what are you pursuing? But what are you pursuing this morning? What are you pursuing this coming up week? What did you pursue this last week? What are you pursuing in your life? Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. The Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Father, again, we ask that you bless our time. Father, we ask that you would help us to be attentive to your voice as you speak to our hearts. Father, we do ask that you would touch our hearts this morning, drawing us closer to you. We ask the Holy Spirit would take the word of God into our hearts and guide us and teach us the things that you want us to learn, the things you want us to be reminded of, the things you want us to be convicted about, the things that, Father, you'll show us how to apply it to our life so that Christ is lifted up in our life and that, Father, you're glorified. Lord, I do ask that you would bless our time as we've gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, none of us wants to walk away not having heard from heaven, not being touched by your presence in some way in our life. So, Father, we just stand before you. We sit before you, just asking that you would glorify yourself. But, Father, would you bless us in a very special way that only you can through one message. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the question is, what are you pursuing? People are pursuing lots of things in their life. They're pursuing relationships. They're pursuing careers. They're pursuing happiness. Whatever it is that they are pursuing, they are pursuing it with all that they can because it's what they want to attain. Again, many different things we pursue in life. Not all of it is bad. But one thing as God's people that we have to continue pursuing is our relationship with Christ. I remember pursuing my wife in high school. And I remember we started dating. We met each other in a biology class in ninth grade, and I just looked across that room and just saw the most beautiful person in the whole world and just knew that's who I want to spend the rest of my life with. And so much so that not even really realizing what I was saying, I told my best friend, I'm going to marry her. And we were just in ninth grade, but as soon as we graduated high school, January 1st, 1993, just a few months out of high school, I married the one I met in my biology class. And I've never stopped pursuing her. Sometimes we get into relationships and we stop pursuing. You know, again, a husband and wife, they get married and, you know, everything's new, you know, through the dating process and everything's new, everything's fresh and, you know, each other putting on their perfume, their cologne, trying to look their best and impress the other one. Because I kind of remember the day that I proposed to my wife and I bought flowers. I mean, I had flowers on the table. I had flowers in the car. I had flowers, and I went up to the door to get her and just all the things I did. But what happens later on in relationships, especially marriages and stuff, is something happens in the mind that we stop pursuing the one that we were pursuing because we wanted to be with that person. And I've seen it time and time again in marriages that I've been able to just see just people in my life over the years. And it's just that way. I mean, it shouldn't be, but it's that way with a lot of people that the mindset is you pursue, you do everything you can, but once you have that person, and then you just go back to your normal self. You don't have to do anything else. That kind of falls into our relationship with Christ. It's a bad human habit, but it carries over into our relationship with Christ. Jesus never stops pursuing us. He never stops pursuing us, but something happens in our life where we stop pursuing him, and it is to be a relationship of pursuit, pursuing his holiness, pursuing his love, his peace, his joy, just pursuing to be with him because you know what it's like. I know what it's like You know, being married to my wife for 30 years, I still get butterflies. I still, get a little giddy around her at different times. And we love enjoying, each other's company. And I know what the relationship with Christ does to me as well. And you know what the relationship with Christ does as well. There is a feeling that goes with that relationship. It's a peaceful feeling. It's a feeling of completeness. It's a feeling of belonging. It's a feeling of love. You feel unconditional love from Christ. Because you know what? You and I don't have to hide anything from Christ. He already knew what he was getting before we even came into the relationship with him. Like I said before, when you're pursuing somebody, you put your best forward. You don't let them see your flaws and all of that. But for some reason, just using the expression, letting your hair down once you have that relationship, right, and you're married, that's fine. But again, we have to continue pursuing Christ. You remember what it was like the first day you met Christ? The peace that came into your life, and I hope you felt the peace of Christ. Because there are things in this world that will draw us away from Christ, just like there's things in this world that will draw us away from our spouse if we're not careful, draw us away from somebody you're in a relationship with if you're not careful, because the devil, whether it's a relationship with Christ, whether it's a relationship with another person, the devil always wants to get in the middle of those relationships, disrupt them, destroy them, not just the relationship, but destroy the people that are involved in that relationship. Now, he can't destroy Christ, and praise the Lord for that, but what he can do is destroy us and our feelings for the Lord. Again, I love the fact that we're going through the book of Revelation in Sunday school, because it just reminds us that this world is coming to an end. Sin is coming to an end. Our struggles in this life are coming to an end. The anguishes that we have experienced in life, the heartaches, all that's coming to an end, but it's coming to an end because of Jesus Christ. And this morning I want us to be reminded of who we should be pursuing in our life, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 1, as Paul writes to the church at Colossae, he says, "If ye then be risen with Christ." So he poses this question. Now he's writing to a church of believers, but he's saying, hey, if you're risen with Christ, if you're born again, then let me talk to you about some things, right? Have you ever heard anyone say, well, if you love me, you'll do this? Now, some people like to kind of put pressure on other people. Well, if you really love me, you'll do this, and you'll go here and all of that, right? I just remember kids kind of do that, the peer pressure. Well, I don't know if I should bring this up, but I was in second grade. Second grade, I had a girlfriend in the second grade. And after lunch, I was by the teacher. Every day after lunch, you go, you have your lunch, and then you stop by the restroom, and everybody goes in the restroom. But she would always, have a hall monitor. She'd pick a kid to be the hall monitor. So while she went to the restroom, somebody was there keeping the other kids in line. And what you had to do is when you got back to the class, the hall monitor had to go and write the names of the kids that did not stand there and were quiet on the chalkboard. And one day I was the hall monitor, and my girlfriend's friend was not behaving. And I was told by my girlfriend, if you write her name on the chalkboard, I'm not going to talk to you again. I did the right thing. I wrote her name on the chalkboard because that's what I was supposed to do. And I lost a girlfriend. I'm saying is that sometimes, the peer pressure of doing what's right versus keeping somebody, on your side can be a big pressure. I mean, that's not the only pressure in life, that we face, that I face, but just life brings pressures into our life, and some of those pressures aren't even wrong. Some of them are just recreation, going camping, going golfing, doing something, all right? But if it's something that's going to keep us from continuing to pursue our relationship with Christ, then it becomes something that's wrong. It becomes something that is taking place in our life that Christ wants that place. When you think about this, when you think about if you're risen with Christ, all right, are you risen with Christ? Have you been born again? Are you a child of God? Do you know 100% that heaven is your home and you don't even bat an eye at it? You know that you're headed to home. You know that you're headed to heaven where Jesus has prepared a place for you. That's why he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Again, we're seeking a lot of things on this world. Again, may not be wrong, but if it's taking precedence in our life over our relationship with the Lord, then it is wrong. It's something that is taking our focus, taking our affections away from the Lord. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So think about this. As his people, we are to be pursuing constantly our position with him. Again, I have a position with my wife, and that position is I'm her husband. So I should be pursuing that relationship, always letting her know that I love her, and not just so she knows it, but she needs to feel it. She needs to know without a shadow of doubt that I love her. Think about our relationship with Christ. Sometimes the mentality is, well, I'm born again, and he knows that I love him. He knows my heart, and you know I'm saved, and I'm a child of God, and all of that. Yes, but the wonderful thing about relationships is the other person actually wants to spend time with you. Think about Jesus Christ. He is God. He is the creator because nothing was created without him. He actually wants to spend time with you personally on a daily basis. He actually wants to hear about our cares, things that are troubling us. He just wants to know how our day is going. That's really any relationship, anyone that really, you know, is concerned about you, anybody who loves you, anybody who wants to be a part of your life, they'll ask those questions. How are you doing? And what can I help you with? And, you know, all those things. But our relationship with Christ is the ultimate relationship that we need to continue pursuing because he pursued us first. We love him because he first loved us, right? So when you think about this position we're supposed to be continually pursuing in Christ, it's the position we have with him through the resurrection. Notice again what he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, risen with Christ. Paul says it this way in Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. So when you think about our position in Christ, in the resurrection of Christ, it's the power that we have through Christ. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. As I was trying to explain this to somebody this past week, you are a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's a lot of new things we get to learn through Christ. The old sin, the old habits, the old struggles, those really don't have control over us anymore unless we allow them to have control over us. Someone who drinks alcohol and they get victory over that, as I was telling somebody recently, trying to help them out, I said, you know what? The world has some good programs to help people overcome the addiction of alcohol and drugs, but that's not all we need because there's a spiritual battle behind it. You may get victory over those addictions in this world through different programs, but unless you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, those things are going to come right back in your life when you have a bad day because the devil's going to remind you, just go have a drink, you know, you'll drown it out, you know, you won't remember anything. But the problem is still there. Jesus Christ is the ultimate solution to the problems that we have in our life. But as his children, as Paul writes to the church at Colossae, says, if you be risen in Christ, then seek those things above. Seek the power of the resurrection in your life. You're not that old person. You've been buried with Christ. You have been crucified with Christ, yet you're still living. The old you has been crucified. The new you and the new me is to walk in newness with the Lord. He says that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. That's the power of the resurrection. It changes a person, right? Because what's the whole point of the death, burial, and resurrection? Well, once a person dies, guess what? The influences that they had in their life, good or bad, no longer have any influence in their life. The sin that they were trapped in no longer has power in their life because they're dead. And that's the picture he gives, that because we're crucified with Christ, right? Those chains have been broken. Whatever bad influences were in our life no longer have any bearing in our life. Doesn't mean that it's not going to come back. Doesn't mean the things we struggled with aren't going to try to come back into our life. Let me put it to you this way. Just because somebody is engaged and has a ring on their finger doesn't mean the old girlfriends and boyfriends don't still want a relationship and try to have a relationship. Many people have had affairs on their fiancés the day they were supposed to walk the aisle. You ever heard stories of that? I have. And praise the Lord, I'm not in those stories, and neither is my wife, but those stories happen. Think about this. That's not the way it should be with us and our relationship with Christ. He's broken the chains. He redeemed us. He took us out of the clutches of the devil, not for us to willingly put ourselves back in the clutches of the devil. Nobody in here would, I just want to walk with the devil, let him have a control of my life. No, that's not how it works. But it's the mindset of, okay, I'm a spouse to Christ. One day I'll see him face to face, but right now I just got to have fun. I got to do what gratifies me. There has to be an inner desire with all of us to continue pursuing our relationship with Christ, because it's the only relationship where we are changed from the inside out, eternally, permanently. Christ is the one that does the work on us. We can't even properly love Christ without him helping us love him. We can't even put him first in our life without him helping us to put him first in our life. That's why we have the Holy Spirit in us, because the Holy Spirit teaches us and guides us on how to work on this relationship, because he doesn't have to. You put two humans together, they have to learn how to work together. They have to learn that, okay, she squeezes the toothpaste tube like this, I do it this way, okay, it's not a big deal. You ever had a squabble with someone over the toothpaste or over the toilet paper roll because you didn't put it on there the right way? I mean, people argue over silly things. And you learn. And because you love the other person, you kind of learn just to, okay, they want the toilet paper roll on the roll this way, I'll do it that way. Not a big deal, right? They like their clothes folded. I mean, just as you love somebody, you seek to please them. It's a wonderful thing that Christ pleases us. He wants to develop in us a strong love for him. And we're reminded at the cross of Calvary, we're reminded through the resurrection that, you know what? He's done the greatest act to show his love. The fact that he willingly laid down his life for us, and through his resurrection, you and I have the power of Christ in our life. So again, if we want to live a life that is blessed, a life that glorifies the Lord, it is through the resurrection of Christ. It's reminding ourselves that, you know what? I am in Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, for as much then as Christ had suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of man, but to the will of God. What is the will of God? That we be living sacrifices. Look at Romans chapter 12. Keep a finger in Colossians. Go back to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, right? The world has their philosophies on how relationships should be. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Just, again, using relationships as an example. My wife and I, we observed this young couple. They were teenagers when they met, when we were attending our home church back in Madison, Wisconsin, before going into the ministry. And we observed this young couple, and just, I mean, when she would walk into the auditorium, didn't matter what he was doing, he knew she was there, and he was just love struck. I mean, just whatever she wanted. I mean, she just would walk in just gracefully. I mean, they were a cute couple. I mean, it was just, everybody just adored them. They were a cute couple, match made in heaven, all that good stuff. You know, they just always, you know, wanted to look their best for one another. But something happened after their wedding. They still loved each other, but my wife and I, we noticed it. Soon after their wedding, there was no more really dressing up and primping and all of that. It was just kind of, and I think because that's the mindset. I mean, you can tell they were still in love and stuff, but the mindset was, okay, we're married and that's it. That's what you do before you get married. You put on your best. And people, again, we can carry this over in our relationship with the Lord. Like the day that you met the Lord Jesus Christ, it was like, oh, that's the best thing that could ever happen to me. Oh, I've got this peace. I've got victory in my life. Heaven is my home. But then what happens? Life creeps in. Just day-to-day life creeps in, and you get focused on just doing life and, okay, you know, married, you know, kids, all that stuff. You know, well, you got to live life. It's like, how do you keep a marriage? How do you keep a relationship, you know, going and both people loving each other? Both people putting effort into it. Both people, right? Loving one another and doing, you know, I may not like it, but you know what? It's something that she loves to do, and you know, we'll go do that. You think about your love for Christ. Why do you read your Bible? Just using simple things. You know, when Jesus taught, he just used simple, ordinary things that people got it. Why do you read your Bible? Somebody say, you know, a child may say, because if I don't, I'm going to get in trouble because my parents tell me to read my Bible. Okay, that's a good thing, but at some point it should be because you want to read your Bible. But as an adult, if you read your Bible this morning, why did you read it? Because it's what I do every day. It's on my to-do list. Okay, that's a good thing. But there's no emotion behind that. That's just something we do. I read my Bible every day. Or what did you read? I don't know. It was something in Matthew, right? Because sometimes we'll ask our kids, well, what did you read? I don't know. It was something in Matthew. I don't remember what it was. But you know, when your heart's into it, you remember details. You remember because there's something that draws you to that other person being Christ. We find ourselves just going through the motions because it's what we've always done. We've got to be careful that we don't just fall into the habit of doing something, but that it's our heart that's full of love for the Lord, that continues to help us to pursue him. Again, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, but there has to be a heart's desire to get closer to the Lord, a heart's desire to have the power of the resurrection of Christ still active in your life. Someone, and you know, I'm sorry I'm using relationships as an example, but the Bible's full of examples of relationships. If a spouse loves the other spouse with all their heart, they're not going to have an affair on them. They're not even going to go down that road. So think about what the Bible says about our relationship with Christ. If I love the Lord with all my heart, I'm not going to seek other avenues to fulfill my spiritual desires. I'm going to have an appetite that can only be quenched by Christ. Because it's not just a simple, okay, you know, I've got the get out of hell free card. You know why a lot of Christians are miserable? Because they're not working on their relationship with Christ. It's the same way with marriages. You know why there's a lot of marriages that are miserable for one person or both people? Because somebody's not working on it. There's all kinds of examples, but listen, the Christian, though, who knows Christ as their Savior, even though we do have trials, and believe me, look, I struggle with it too, we should be the most happiest people because we have Christ. But something happens when we stop pursuing Christ, because what do we find when we pursue Christ? Again, we find joy, peace, love, fulfillment, completeness, right? We find everything we need in order to have a successful life. Remember what God told Joshua? The only way he was going to have success as the new leader of Israel, and the only way he was going to have success going into the promised land, is if he did something. Now, there's a lot of health and wealth preachers out there that, you know, say, well, you know, you send me your money and God will bless you. You do this and God will bless you. No, there's one thing that God says that we can do, and God promises that we will have success in our life and we'll have prosperity. And he told Joshua this in Joshua chapter 1. He says in verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, if we observe everything that God says, if we apply everything God says to our life, every aspect of our life, God says this, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It comes down to submitting to Christ. Submitting to Christ. Again, someone who just has multiple affairs on their spouse throughout their marriage, they have not committed themselves to that spouse. They're married to the spouse. I mean, they've got the ring, but they haven't committed their heart and their soul to that spouse. It's the same with Christ. It's the same with the Lord. If we truly want success and prosperity in our life, we have to commit in pursuing the Lord daily. Pursuing the Lord daily. Commit our entire life to the Lord. Because he says, pursuing our position in Christ back in Colossians chapter 3. All right, go back to Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 1. I got to kind of speed up here. Not even past point 1, but that's all right, because I think you understand that this world constantly pulls at our relationship with Christ. You and I can only make it through this world if our relationship with Christ is strong. We can only make sound decisions if our relationship is strong with the Lord. So pursuing our position in Christ through the resurrection of Christ, we have the power of the resurrection of Christ in our life, but then personally in him. I've already mentioned it, but Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Paul made a conscious, I mean, every day he was conscious about the fact he could not do what he was called to do without submitting and yielding his life to Christ. So I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet the life I live now in the flesh, the life you're living right now as a born-again child of God has to be lived through the power of Christ. That's what he says. He says that, where am I at here? He says, The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So you and I have to live this life now through the power of Christ. But also, look at the second part of verse 1. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. We're to be seeking our purpose in living this life through Christ, seeking those things above, the pursuit of heavenly things. What's going to help us in this life? God's Word, God's Holy Spirit, and our fellowship with Him. We are to be pursuing God's Word, God's fellowship, and His Spirit in our life, pursuing our purpose. What's your purpose? Do you know what your purpose is in life? I mean, there'll be times we'll still wonder, you know, what is my purpose? Even after you found the purpose, even after you seemingly are doing something, I don't even know if this is the purpose. But do you know the purpose? It has nothing to do with anything that you can do in this world. Again, some people think their life's purpose is to get the career, to get the retirement package, and then just sit back on a beach somewhere and enjoy retirement. There's a lot of different ideas of what the purpose of life is, but for the child of God, for anybody, God's purpose is for us to know Him. Do you know Christ as your Savior this morning? Do you know Him as the friend that sticks closer than a brother? Do you know Him as the shepherd, the one that you hear His voice and you can discern His voice from the devil who imitates Him and tries to lead God's people astray? Sometimes someone may say, well, God knows my heart. He does. That's a scary thing. I don't know your heart. I only know what you tell me. But He knows your heart, just like you only know what I tell you about me. But He knows my heart. He knows my struggles. He knows your struggles. He knows, and there's not, but He knows if there is a criminal, I'll leave it at that, a criminal among us. Someone who's after kids. He knows if they're among us. Sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we think it's the creepy guy that talks to himself. No, 99% of the time, it's the gentleman. It's the one that everybody trusts. It's the one that everyone says wouldn't even hurt a fly. I'm just saying that you and I, to have true success in our life so we're not deceived and we're not led astray, is we have to continue pursuing Christ, pursuing His way, pursuing His purpose in our life. And His purpose is for us to pursue His Word, His fellowship, and His Spirit, because He wants your life and my life to be more blessed than we even do. Now, how many of you want your life to be blessed by the Lord? Just think to yourself. I do. And I'm sure you do too. But you realize He wants it to be blessed even more? But again, when you think about pursuing the heavenly things, it's pursuing His Word, and it is, until I lose my voice or I die, I'll keep saying it, it's the number one thing the devil wants to take out of the hearts and minds of God's people. That's just a book written by man's opinion. And as we're going to go through, Lord willing, in the month of October, talk about and preach about, you know, just the lies that people believe, and it shapes their life. The lie is that the Bible doesn't really help. I mean, after all, it's written by a bunch of sinners. You realize there's not one writer from Moses all the way down to the Apostle John who writes the book of Revelation. There's not one person in here that's not a sinner. But every one of them was used by God because they gave their life to the Lord. Their hearts followed after the Lord, right? Their lives weren't perfect, but the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon them and they wrote the things that God wanted them to write. I'm just saying that we have struggles in our life, But the power of Christ is still in our life to give us the victory. And God wants us to continue pursuing the heavenly things. Keep pursuing the word of God. We already looked at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It's going to give you success in your life, the word of God. Not just reading it, meditating on it, applying it to your life. And it is the Holy Spirit that helps to do that, because he's the guide, he's the teacher, he's the comforter. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And how can we be filled with the Spirit? Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Pursuing the Word of God, pursuing the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would help you to understand the Word of God, how to apply it to your life, how you can walk in the Spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, so we can have sweet fellowship with the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful. I love that. Just three words. God's faithful. You know anybody that's not faithful in your life? But at least God is faithful. Why do we need to keep pursuing our relationship with the Lord? Because he's the only one that's faithful. He's the only one that won't desert me. He's the only one that won't talk bad about me. He's the only one that won't stab me in the back. He's the only one that truly has my best interest in mind. He has thoughts of peace towards me, right? Always. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. It's the only relationship that we can have true joy. Sometimes you don't know if someone has your best interest in mind. Sometimes you don't know if someone's lying to you. But when you sit at the feet of Jesus, there's something different. You know why Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus while Martha was cumbered about much serving in the kitchen? One chose the better part. One chose to sit and listen and just sit in the presence of Christ. You realize when you read the gospel, people were drawn to Christ. They were drawn just by his presence. And then when he started speaking, then they were really drawn. I mean, some were there just to get their bellies filled and see a miracle. But those that were seeking Christ, and they were drawn to him. Do you still find yourself today being drawn to Christ? Do you still hear his voice speaking to you? Because it's a shepherd's voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Because there's a lot of voices in the world. Especially with young people, a lot of voices, you know, go this way, go that way, do this, this, that. But it's a soft, still voice that God speaks to us through. It's a powerful voice, right? It's not a whisper. I mean, you can hear God's voice even over the air conditioning unit. You can hear God's voice over a jackhammer pounding the pavement. But are we pursuing it? Are we acknowledging it? Are we still letting the power of Christ change our life? Or have we found ourselves in a humdrum life, just going through life with really no intentions whatsoever? No. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you were convicted in your life about anything? Because you were reading the Bible? Or you heard some message from some preacher? Or maybe you heard a gospel song. You know, when was the last time that the Holy Spirit convicted you about anything in your life? Because we're not perfect yet. There's still some things. I mean, I just remember the beginning of my life. It was like, boom, 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 okay. Right? It's almost overwhelming. But it's not, because he helps us. He just shows us, okay, man, that's a lot. I hope we're done. But still, you know, over time, 20-something years later, still, you know, for some 30, 40, there should still be some convictions going on. There should be some things in our life that God still points out, hey, you know what? It's not sin, but you sure are given more, you know, you're given that more place in your life than you should. If we're not, if it's been a long time since I've been convicted about anything that God teaches from His Word, I should be concerned. That means I've drifted away from the Lord. He hasn't left me, but I've drifted away from my relationship. I've stopped pursuing Him. I've stopped allowing Him to work in my life. The Bible says I've grieved the Holy Spirit. I've quenched the Holy Spirit. I can't hear His voice. When was the last time you heard God clearly speak to you about something? What happens is sometimes, I say we, just we and people in general, we treat our relationship with God as we treat our relationships with people. Somebody annoys you, someone's done you wrong, you ignore them, you could care less about them. If we're not careful, that can spill over into our relationship with the Lord. Because it's the most important relationship that we have. It's the only relationship where one side continues to give 100%. Where one side still loves us without a shadow of a doubt. Unconditionally, sacrificially, and still wants to bless us. But are we pursuing Christ? Because to pursue, you have to have a focus. And there's lots of things in this life, this world, that can get our focus off the Lord. That's why we got to keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. That's why, again, we have to be concerned about our spiritual state. If we're not concerned about it, we're not going to pursue it. We're not going to change anything in our life. You know, I just remember the day I got married. I'll even back up. I was so excited the night before. You've probably heard stories of bachelor parties, you know, gone wild and, you know, last flings and all that. Not me, I went to bed early. I went and played pool with my father, my future father-in-law, and my brothers and stuff. And we played pool, and that was it. We went home, crashed. It was like I wanted the next day to hurry up and get here. And I just remember how nervous I was. I was out there just waiting and waiting, and then up at the altar waiting, just palm sweat and everything. But when the back doors opened and she walked through, it's finally happening. I've been waiting a long time. We met in ninth grade. I mean, here it is, you know, 4 years later, you know, just waiting. And I still remember the anticipation. I still remember waiting, and just when she, the closer she got, my heart just pounding and all that. I understand some relationships haven't been like that. But what I'm trying to say is, does your heart still pound when you think about Christ? Do you find yourself getting all nervous because He's about to walk through the door? You're about to meet your Savior face to face? Or is it, I haven't thought about that in a long time. Because that's what it's all about. Pursuing Christ. Keeping a right focus. Letting Him continue to change you. Letting Him continue to show you how much He loves you. Let's stop comparing our relationship with Christ with somebody in this world. Because you know what? When it comes down to it, that's the only relationship that matters. David said it this way: I've sinned against You and only You, God. He was talking about his adulterous affair and murdering the woman's husband. He said, I've only sinned against You. Wait about those people. He's not saying He didn't sin against them. He's saying, well, I've sinned against You because You gave me this life. You put me in the position of a king. I took advantage of it. What's David known for? A man after God's own heart. Who do we want to be known as? People after God's own heart. So think about pursuing the Lord. Let your heart be affected again by the love of Christ, by his faithfulness. Look back into his eyes. Look back into his wonderful face. Let your heart beat again for Christ. If it stopped, let your affections be on things above. Notice what it says. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's something that can never be taken away. Nobody can take away the fact you're going to see Christ one day. You're going to stand before him. You're going to walk on the golden streets with the Lord. No one can take that away from you. People have taken things away from you in this world. They've taken your heart. They've ripped it. They've broken it. They've stomped on it. And it hurts. Aren't you glad he's never done that? Aren't you glad you have somebody that can give you the stamina, the strength you need just to keep living this life because you're walking with him? Keep pursuing him through his word, by submitting to the Holy Spirit, and by fellowshipping with him. Don't let the devil, don't let the cares of this world rob you of that relationship that is perfect.